Solomon the Prophet. Solomon and his companions were returning from Mecca, where they had performed their pilgrimage rituals. On their way home, they were looking for water, but could not find any. Solomon tried to call Hupu to ask for help, but could not find it either. So he swore to reprimand it in return and thought that if it didn't have an acceptable excuse for its absence, he would terribly punish or even slaughter it. After a short while, the hoopoe appears and told Solomon, "I've been informed of something you know nothing of. I've brought you some exact news from Sheba land. I saw a woman there who was ruling over the people of that land. She had all kind of power and a magnificent throne, but her people worshipped sun instead of the great God. Satan has glorified this path for them and prevented them from stepping in the way of the Almighty. Whereas they should worship the God who has domination over all evident and hidden things on the earth and in heavens, the unique God who reveals and feeds them, the God of the great celestial throne, who is the one and the only." Coming to know this, Solomon said, "We shall investigate over this matter to see if you are telling the truth or you're of the liars." Then he wrote a letter, sealed it, and gave it to the Hupu and said, "Take this letter there and throw it before her. Then fly away and sit somewhere that you can overhear what she says." The Hupu took the letter, flew to the palace of the woman who ruled over the land and was named Bilqis, and threw it before her. The queen of Sheba read the letter and turned to the nobles of her country as well as the commanders of her army and said, "A letter from Solomon has been thrown before me. It contains these few sentences. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Seek not superiority over me, and come to my presence submissively." After the letter had been read for them, the authorities of the country and army commanders said, "Your Majesty, we are strong enough, well equipped, and quite ready to fight. But it is up to you, and we shall obey whatever you command us. Thus, we will wait to see what your opinion is and what your highness commands us." Queen of Sheba, after thinking for a short while, said to them, "Kings and rulers usually annihilate the city, which they have forcefully conquered through a war, and kill or humiliate its people. This is their way. But I have thought it to be wise to send a present to them and see what news our agents will bring us. I mean, we shall see whether they accept our present or not." The Hupu went to Solomon immediately and, before Bilqis' agents could get there, told him whatever it had heard there. Solomon ordered to decorate his palace quite gloriously and arrange his troops and army in front of his palace so that his wealth and power would surprise her agents who were on the way. Bilqis' agents, seeing Solomon's magnificent palace as well as the beauty, glory and splendor of his realm, felt ashamed to present their gifts. But anyway, as it was their queen's order, they presented them shamefully. Solomon did not accept their presents and said, "Are you trying to give me assistance with your gifts? What God has bestowed upon me is much better than whatever you and your rulers own. And this is you who is happy and satisfied with these gifts. I shall never be content with such worldly possessions. So return to the people of Sheba and tell them that I shall send a great army to fight with them. They will never be able to resist my army, and if they do not follow my commands, we shall drive them out of the city while they are totally humiliated and miserable. The agents of Bilchis returned to her with the presents and narrated whatever they had seen and heard to her. Then Bilchis decided to go to Solomon's presence together with the nobles of the tribe in order to show him their submission. Gabriel informed Solomon of their decision, and he, in order to exhibit the greatness and magnificence of God's blessings bestowed upon him, asked his followers and friends, "Which of you can bring me Bilchis' throne before their arrival?" One of the jinns replied, "I can bring it to your presence before you may rise from your seat. I shall prove to be quite competent and trustworthy in following this command of yours." But Asif, the son of Barakiya, who had access to heavenly knowledge, interrupted the jinn and said, "I can make it present in a blink of an eye." No sooner had Solomon closed and opened his eyes than he found Bilchis' throne in front of him. So he thanked God and said, "This is a sign of my God's generosity to examine if I am grateful or unthankful to him." Solomon also ordered to build a palace made of white glass and change the appearance of Bilchis' throne so as to test her in her arrival and see if she still recognizes her own throne. When Bilchis arrived, Solomon told her, "Is your throne like this?" Bilchis replied, "It's so much similar that I doubt if it is not the same throne." Bilchis was greatly surprised to see her own throne there. Then Solomon ordered her to enter the glass palace. But when she went in, she took the crystal-like glass for clear water. So she took off her shoes and rolled up her dress to pass through the water. But Solomon stopped her and said, "This is a glass palace, and there is no water here." Bilchis, having been startled of that much splendor, said, "Oh God, I've been oppressing myself all these years to be among disbelievers, and now I shall accept Solomon's Islam and submit to the great God of the whole universe."